An electoral court in Iraq has disqualified two winning candidates in the parliamentary elections held in March, potentially changing the outcome of who leads a ruling coalition. Both candidates, one of whom was aligned with the Iraqiya party headed by Ayad Alawi, were disqualified on the grounds of an affiliation with former President Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath party. Alawi's coalition had won 91 out of 325 seats in the parliament, a narrow plurality over the 89 seats won by incumbent Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's State of Law party. The Special Electoral Court also disqualified about 50 candidates who lost the election. Their votes will now have to be discarded, leading to a numerical reevaluation across the board of who won and who lost the elections. Nine more candidates who won seats face judgment from the court for Ba'athist affiliation, and the court has also ordered a recount of votes in the capital, Baghdad. Alawi's coalition has denounced the moves, claiming that they are politically motivated and could be detrimental to the whole democratic process in Iraq. The political confusion is likely to delay the formation of a government, which in turn could delay the withdrawal of U.S. troops set to happen at the end of next year. Meanwhile, more than 70 people were killed last Friday in a series of bombings in Baghdad. The bombings were most likely all related, targeting only Shiite areas, striking mosques, residences and stores, in the deadliest attacks this year. Only 4 days earlier, U.S. and Iraqi forces had killed two al-Qaeda leaders operating in Iraq. Joining me on the phone now is Robert Naiman, Policy Director with Just Foreign Policy. Welcome back to Uprising, Robert.
It's good to be with you.
So the last time we had talked, we were discussing where the election results would head, with Alawi's party having the 91 votes and Nouri al-Maliki having 89 votes. And even then we knew that the court was likely to disqualify a few candidates, changing the outcome of the election. Where does the recent court decision leave these election results?
Well, first of all, as we discussed last time, it doesn't fundamentally change the outcome of the election, because we're talking about a handful of seats. You know, there was this narrow plurality that the Iraqiya coalition won by getting more, two more seats than the Maliki, the Dawa coalition. But you need a majority of seats in parliament to control the government. So, and the main drama is which of these two actors will lead, or will somebody else lead, a coalition that will form the next Iraqi government. One or two seats is not liable directly to change that. It could influence, you know, these developments could influence the politics of which of who forms the winning coalition. But one or two seats isn't going to determine numerically who forms that coalition. So the main drama lies elsewhere.
Well, what about the disqualification of the 50 candidates who lost the election? Whatever votes they did get are now apparently going to be discarded, and they'll have to sort of recalculate who got which votes.
Yeah, well, that certainly is an odd outcome from a Democratic point of view. You go to the polling place, you vote for your candidate, and not only is the candidate subsequently disqualified, but your vote is disqualified because you voted for a disqualified candidate. This outcome was completely forecast and predictable before the election. Remember that before the election, some candidates were excluded. There was a big conflict involving the different Iraqi political actors and the United States, and the U.S. pushed for a compromise where some of these issues would be deferred until after the election. Well, now we're seeing the consequence of that deferral. Arguably, it would have been more straightforward if some candidates were going to be disqualified in this way. It would have been more straightforward to disqualify them ahead of time. Then no one would have voted for them. The coalitions that were putting these candidates forward could have put other candidates forward who would not have been disqualified. Obviously, that would possibly put them at a political disadvantage. You know, suppose you have some politician who's popular in their community and therefore a good candidate, but seen by others as linked to the Ba'athists. Well, you know, so you're worse off if such a candidate is disqualified beforehand. But you're even more worse off if that candidate runs and then the people that vote for that person are are de facto disqualified afterwards. So in some ways, this outcome, this unfortunate outcome, is a consequence of the policy that the U.S. pursued before the election.
Well, how independent is the Electoral Commission right now? And are any of their decisions, whether, you know, whether they include on particular candidates or not, but also on the timing of their disqualifications, are any of them influenced by outside forces, you think?
Well, certainly. there's no question that the Maliki government has significant influence. There's no question that the U.S. government has significant influence, pushing in this question in the other direction. Obviously, the Iranian government has some influence. There are lots of actors trying to push the outcome in one direction or the other.
And al-Maliki stands to benefit the most from this particular process?
Yeah, well, clearly, there's, if nothing else, a sort of a psychological and political benefit if the Maliki's group can emerge from the first round with the plurality rather than the Iraqiya group. They've already, you know, Maliki since the election has been not limiting himself to one political strategy. So one strategy is the disqualification of candidates. Another strategy was getting a court ruling saying that it's not the party with the most votes that gets the first chance to form the government. It's the coalition with the most votes that gets the chance to control the government.
Well, I want to talk to you about who would join with al-Maliki to form that coalition, but let's discuss the recent events in Baghdad and how they might affect what's happening with the election. As I mentioned, two top leaders of al-Qaeda in Iraq were recently killed by U.S. forces, and that group has acknowledged that those two members were in fact killed, two leaders killed. And just a few days later, these bombings last week, killing more than 70 people, the deadliest attacks this year. And the Sadrists have responded by offering protection for Shiite mosques, which were targeted. But Nouri al-Maliki, who could stand to get the support of the Sadr's party in forming a coalition, has refused that help. How does this violence affect the election and the formation of a coalition?
Well, it cuts two ways. On the one hand, if there's a polarization, a new Shia-Sunni polarization, that probably helps Maliki by pushing the other Shia political forces, which are the minority, to unite. On the other hand, the big calling card of Maliki in the election was, I'm the guy that brought security to Iraq. So these bombings undermine Maliki's claim to be the guy who's bringing security. So it cuts both ways.
Robert Naiman is my guest. He's a policy director at Just Foreign Policy. We're talking about what's happening in Iraq right now. So now the electoral court's decision to disqualify these candidates is already being seen as having one concrete outcome, and that would be to at least slightly delay the withdrawal of U.S. forces. Is that true?
Well, it's certainly these machinations delay the formation of the government. Whether that's going to delay the withdrawal of U.S. forces isn't clear. The next benchmark is August, by which the U.S. undertook to reduce its forces to 50,000. The U.S. wanted to wait until the formation of Iraqi government, things kind of stabilized, before moving dramatically on drawdown. On the other hand, we're still in the tail end of April. So there's still a significant amount of time for a new government to be formed and for the U.S. to still meet its deadline of August for reaching 50,000. And in any event, you know, whether it's August or September, the main deadline is the end of 2011, by which the U.S. has undertaken to essentially remove all U.S. troops from Iraq. And there's no reason now to believe, you know, the last time there was an election, there was also, you know, a long process of negotiation and jockeying. And the U.S. political statements so far haven't cast doubt on the U.S. complying with its plans for military withdrawal.
Finally, where do you see Ayad Alawi taking his struggle? His party, as I mentioned, has spoken out against the electoral court's decisions, saying that they're politically motivated, which is probably true and could be detrimental to the whole democratic process in Iraq. But he is somebody that had formerly been aligned with the United States. Where does he head now?
Well, in two directions. On the one hand, obviously, the Iraqiya group and Alawi want to make it politically difficult for them to be cut out of the new dispensation, and so you see these threats of renewed violence, which may be quite true if their bloc, which has got overwhelming support from Sunni Arabs in the election, if their bloc is excluded. On the other hand, they have been making some conciliatory noises. They've met with representatives of the Iranian government, providing assurances that if the Iraqiya coalition comes into the government, they will not tolerate for Iraq to be used as a base of U.S. military attack on Iran. And so it's quite possible that when the dust clears, we'll see a new coalition government that includes both the Maliki forces and the Alawi forces.
Hmm. And also, what about the Iraqi National Alliance, the Shia parties? Would they be split between the two?
It's possible. One of the main obstacles to the formation of a government has been the animus of the Sadrists towards Maliki personally, the sense of betrayal that they had over the military crackdown against the Sadrists that Maliki led. And it's quite likely that if Maliki would agree to stand down, the main Shia parties could come together in an alliance. So anything is possible in terms of the splits there. We could see a grand coalition. We could see a split with, some Shia and some Sunnis, some Kurds forming a new government. I think it's still early days in these negotiations.
Well, Robert Naiman, as always, thanks so much for joining us. And throw out your website real quick.
www.justforeignpolicy.org.
That's justforeignpolicy.org. Thanks so much, Robert.
It's always good to be with you.
For Sonali, subversive thought for the day, Albert Einstein once said, "All of us who are concerned for peace and triumph of reason and justice must be keenly aware how small an influence reason and honest goodwill will exert upon events in the political field."